On this episode of Made for This, I'm talking with the chief dot connector of Flow Office Wisdom. April is asking good questions and helping you discover your brilliance on episode 91. Let's do this.
To all of that, I guess, to say was that I had a sense that at the deepest part of myself was this feeling like I was supposed to be spending my life creating opportunities for other people to know themselves.
Is there one clear career path for each of us? What kind of people should you get around you as a visionary? And is it really possible to have a world full of good people running good companies? Really? Welcome to the Made for This podcast. I am Alex Treat, your remote mentor, helping you discover and do what you're made for. This podcast is here to make you more confident in who you are and what you bring to the world. I want to bring you value by introducing you to more amazing mentors through conversational style interviews. As we dive into their work and stories, I know you will learn from their experiences, be inspired to action, and begin to tell a better story with your life. Today on the podcast, I am joined by April Burrows. She is working with the leaders of small not-for-profit organizations to help them set clear goals, make a plan, and clarify their vision so they can move forward with confidence. April says she is providing opportunities for people to discover their own brilliance. Oh yeah! She grew up in an entrepreneurial home, worked as a florist, ran a cleaning company, and worked in management position, and also got certified as a spiritual director. It's always been about the people for April and the opportunities to create more than the work itself. Now, being in her role at Flow Office Wisdom, she has all the opportunities in front of her to help people create their own futures in their not-for-profit work. She's helping the visionary leader get clear on what their next step is and begin to actually take that next step. If that is you, if you're looking for some clarity on your next step, April's got some wisdom to share with you, some gold in this episode. You're going to love April's story, especially the part where she talks about a major part of her career path sparking from one email that she sent out to 50 people. In this, there is hope, there's discovery, there's patience, and there's joy found in the process of April's story as she has done what she's made for all along the way. I think she helps remind us about the importance of being aligned with your own purpose, being abundantly clear on what you need to do in this world, and stepping into where you fit best. Let's get into it, shall we? Here's my conversation with April Burrows. Oh, and by the way, we spend the first part of this digging into the Enneagram. I mean, we talked about it for like 15 minutes, and then, like an idiot, I didn't record it. And so I just jumped in and hit record kind of towards the end of our Enneagram conversation, which is where we start the recording here for you today. So enjoy all of this with April Burrows.
Well, I'm a type one.
Yeah, okay.
With a 9 wing.
Yeah, very good.
And I've definitely danced around in 4 and 7 a lot. I danced around in 4 when I went through which is when I really got integrated into the Enneagram. It was actually the tool that helped me understand myself and what I was going through. But the 4 was how I was able to tell a very painful childhood story.
Wow.
And living in that place. Like Russ Hudson, one of my main teachers, has always said that the 4 is like, I mean, your point of stress is it's also the key.
Yeah.
There's a key in it. And so for me, I was able to identify, it helped being in 4 to tell my story and to be okay with the deeper, darker places that a 1 doesn't naturally go to.
Wow.
And then, you know, in the last, probably since I started Flow, my company, mine and Crystal's company. I don't know how you know Crystal, but anyways.
Yeah, I don't know. So we'll get into that.
She's my business partner. I think she knows you through people that know you or something. Mm-hmm. You know, just since I started Flow, I've been able to like really see the juicy goodness of life and be more playful that a 1 struggles to be.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely, you know, I'm definitely of the school of thought that, yes, I dance around in those areas, but I'm core 1, which means...
Yeah.
You know, I see the, you know, I'm really strong idealist. I very much see the vision of what things could be, and definitely am utilizing that to support people, whether it's in one-on-one work or yeah. in the business work that we're doing. So I'm from that school of thought that we have that core, and that's really what we're developing is our core type.
Yeah. So very good. I just think it's so fun. We started the call and I asked you a question that I ask a lot of people, which is, hey, do you know anything about the Enneagram? And you dropped this little nugget of gold on me and said, oh yeah, actually I've been studying it for 20 years. And then we started talking about that. And so why don't you just start us off by telling us kind of what you're doing? What's your main work that you're bringing to the world right now, April?
My main work is working with small to medium-sized businesses and not-for-profits and their leaders on taking their vision and their passion and turning it into results. So often there's organizations who work at the visioning level, and there's often organizations who work on the to-do, the tasky level, and we bridge that. We take it from the vision, create a plan, and then get the job done.
Yeah, okay. So I love the word that you said there, tasky.
Tasky. It's not level. A real word, but it's a word to me.
No, that's great. So really just taking ideas and putting them into action, essentially.
Yes. Yeah, because there's a lot of incredible people out there who are starting to get a sense that, well, I love you're made for this, that they're getting a sense of what they're made for. Mm. And often those people are very ideas people. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people that is a very idea person. And so I need people around me who can take what I'm seeing as a potential solution for what I call a world that works for everyone, because that's our focus as a business. Is doing business differently and a world that works for everyone. Mm. And taking that and actually putting a plan in place that's doable and achievable and moving those plans and ideas forward. And that some of that is taking pieces of the work and actually doing it for the visionary.
Right. That is, you know what, this is great, because this is something that I mean, for a lot of my career, my professional career, I was a youth pastor, and I worked alongside a friend of mine. And that was really kind of the give and take that we had, where one of us typically, I'd be the one who kind of seems to kind of go off and create sometimes the crazy ideas, but sometimes he would. And the other one would inevitably come in and be like, okay, how are we going to make that happen? And it's just so helpful to have somebody there to say, okay, that's a good idea, but maybe here's step one. And is that kind of where you step in?
Well, it's not where I personally step in, because I'm one of those idea people. So my role is to actually listen. And I'm a trained spiritual director, so I am trained in listening. And it's actually, I'm a strong introvert, so I'm actually naturally inclined that way. Mm-hmm. I'm listening kind of behind the words of what people are saying and what they're dreaming of, and trying to put some, I don't know, like a map together or a picture, a very succinct picture together of what it is that they're seeing. Yeah. And then actually I have a team of 10, I think, around me now, where they're much more skilled at that. So we think about things in terms of synergizing, where my strength is the visionary piece, yeah. the big picture. My official title is Chief Dot Connector, because I see myself as, I can connect that purpose. I can understand the deeper meaning behind it. I see where the need is in the world for that to happen and how that's going to sort of change something for the better. And then I have a team of people around me who are really good at project management, who are really good at timelining, who are good at the follow through, who have specific skills like graphic design or human resource management or marketing or communications. And I have that team around me where I just sort of pass the baton to them.
Yeah.
So we all have our own role. My role is more the visionary.
Yeah. It's really cool, because that it really is a lot of essentially what the vision or the value is of this podcast and a lot of the coaching work that I do with Made for This, which is, yeah, listening to somebody and really just trying to pull out what's deep inside, what's deep in the core that they maybe haven't discovered yet. But as they talk about it, and as you ask the right questions and listen well, then it sounds like what you're doing is you're listening for either an individual or a business's really kind of core desires, and trying to then implement those and put them into some sort of plan. Again, does that sound right?
It is absolutely right. Yeah.
Very
and
cool.
Sometimes somebody comes with, they have an idea of a product or whatever. But if you really ask those questions deep enough, you'll get at the core reason why they want that, why that product is important to them. So it might seem on the surface, it's very, traditional business,
right?
You know, good exchange for goods and services, you know, for a financial exchange. But often behind that is even more. Sometimes it's, you know, this depth of family connection, like wanting to leave a legacy for a family. It could be anything.
Right.
So listening and asking those questions, you can normally get to a deeper place than they even knew they were working from.
Yeah.
Because it's in there.
Yeah.
And core values are in there. It's all a part of it. Yeah.
And then I want to get into the story and kind of how you got to this. But just I think I've got one more question about kind of the process then of how this works and how flow really works here is, as you hear somebody, they might come to you and say, hey, I've got this idea for a company, X company, I don't know, whatever something might be. And then you start asking questions. And again, you pull out something like that, like, oh, they actually want to start this company because they want to leave a legacy or it's something much deeper than that. Does that ever change then their company, you know, their expected outcome or their initial dream that they had in mind as you help them realize kind of really the core behind that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it changes it. I would say it deepens.
Yeah.
Or at least that's our goal. I mean,
yeah,
we work with hundreds of clients. I mean, to the point in our business right now that I could walk down the street and actually not know if somebody was our client or not, because I don't meet them all anymore. We have getting to be a larger team for a small company.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some companies we work for or not-for-profits we work for are at a certain stage in their development and they're just starting to ask some different kinds of questions. So they're wanting us to come in and help them find what that next thing is. But for the most part, they have a good idea of where they want to go. They just don't know necessarily what it looks like. So I wouldn't think it changes. I think it maybe just brings it more into focus.
Yeah, that's
maybe
very good.
Maybe it's a way of saying it.
Yep. They have an idea of where they want to go. They just don't know how to get there. I think really good.
Sometimes we push back on them and say, that's actually not going to get you there.
Yeah.
That's going to get you down there. This other path. So do you, you know, sometimes it's us making it clear that actually that course of action normally leads to a different result. So if you're really looking for this outcome, then here's some other ideas of how you're probably better off to utilize your time and resources.
Well, and I think this is what so much of our world is looking for right now is this sense of mentorship, right? It's somebody to come along and just help guide us along our steps and just help us along because so many of us just feel just woefully lost out there in our ideas and in our head and in our dreams. And so to have people and companies like this actually dedicated to doing this work is fantastic. So how did you get here? How do you get to the place where you're like, I want to start a business to help other businesses and help people start businesses? How do you get here? What's your journey like? Go way back to did you do this? Did someone come along in your journey when you were a teenager or a young adult or something? Or what does your story look like?
Yeah, well, I've had now three careers, so gives you an idea of my age a little bit. So I actually went to school to be a florist. I really like creative things and did that for a number of years. So the course I took was floral design and business management. It's sort of a combined course.
Yeah.
I grew up, my dad's a serial entrepreneur and had many businesses over my childhood. So it was a normal part of my life to see things evolve and change and start something new.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of the background story. And, then I got into some management work. So, as a florist, it's a tough industry because every time there's a major holiday or summer, that's when you're the busiest. So when my kids were little, I found it quite challenging to, you know, work extra hours at Christmas and Easter and all through the summer when there's weddings and, so
nobody thinks to give the florist a rose on Mother's Day, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, but I love the creative side of it. So I've been holding that creative side for a long time thinking I really love the creative side of it. I liked the florist industry because I could make something in a fairly short time. I'm not a patient person. So, you know, knitting, not my thing. It takes way too long. Same thing over and over again. That's not my thing. That's not my kind of creativity.
Right.
And then I actually owned, I ran a cleaning company after that. So I had 5 staff and we cleaned all over sort of our region, homes and businesses. And I liked the working with the staff. So I started really seeing how much I enjoy getting to know them, working beside them, and recognize how much house cleaning was actually a very creative thing. Like, you have to have a really good eye to see the details. Hmm. And then I got into a management position. So I kind of left my own thing just at the stage in, of my life and managed another company and started to really recognize my skill set and what I was really passionate. So it's just sort of been, it just sort of evolved.
But right.
What was core to all of that, I guess, to say was that I had a sense that at the deepest part of myself was this feeling like I was supposed to be spending my life creating opportunities for other people to know themselves
wow.
in some way, shape, or form. So it's really, and, you know themselves, and I would say with a capital S, like their divine self, their, you know, uniquely made for them self.
Yeah.
My sort of spiritual language around that is our unique emanation of God. Like we're all that. We all have a unique sort of calling and role in the world.
Right.
So that's what I had a sense that my life was to be about. And like, okay, how does business and that fit together? And so I really got into, I started going through a spiritual journey myself, kind of through a really, really dark time of my life, and found a spiritual director and started working on myself, which is really, in essence, sort of the loophole, this tiny space I went through to kind of squeeze out the other side and recognize.
That's such a good picture. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think of that story about the emperor moth and, you know, how that was a key story for me in my sort of healing journey, I would call it.
Can you go into that a little bit?
I can. Yeah, so there was a story of a missionary in China, and I'm not going to get the rest of the story right. But the idea was that she was sitting there, her husband had been killed, and she was sitting on her front porch, and she was watching day after day this caterpillar create the cocoon, and it was an emperor moth. And she just couldn't stand seeing it kind of wriggle out and fight and fight and fight to get out. So she cut a hole in it, and the emperor moth fell to the ground. And of course, because its wings couldn't, it needed to squeeze through that tiny hole for its wings to dry properly, for it to be able to take flight. And that story just stuck with me for years about how we sometimes go through what I call these thin places, these squishy places where we figure out, you know, what is it that we need to squeeze out? What is it we need to let go of in order to take flight in our lives? So
that's very good.
That's sort of, yeah. And I did a whole many years of thinking about, you know, the whole caterpillar actually dissolves fully in the cocoon. I never knew that before. So I did a lot of stuff around the metaphor of the butterfly.
Wow.
In order to understand, it was a way for me to understand what I was going through. But everything from the past and that tight space that I was in all is a part of where I ended up now, which is only another part of the evolution, I believe, and where I'm going. So
yeah. So you, just to recap a bit, there's this like floral industry and then cleaning and then management and is it kind of after all of that? Was this, actually now I need to get into some spiritual direction, and, or was that sort of throughout that time as well? Like
that's when I sort of started, I found a spiritual director, and then through that, my spiritual director said, "Hey, have you ever considered maybe being a spiritual director?"
Yeah,
and I'm like, "Me, really?" And so I did a 2-year training course on multi-faith spiritual direction actually. And it focused on that and dream work and then for the last 20 years, I've been meeting with people one-on-one. In particular, I really focus that part of my work on people who are in leadership positions and really wanting to finesse their leadership and really go deep in their own growth.
Right. Yeah.
So that I really focus on those folks who are in leadership positions, whether it's in a, you know, general for-profit world or in a faith-based sort of position.
And I'm curious. So at the beginning, you were kind of like, I need to do something creative. And then even in the mm-hmm. cleaning, you said, you know, there's something like something creative about seeing the details and all of that. Mm-hmm. And do you find that over the last 20 years as a spiritual director, has there still been that element of creating?
Yeah. And I think creating is a lot about noticing and listening and seeing and pondering and feeling, and like, there's a real depth to it. So mm-hmm. yeah, I've learned through the years, like that's the same sort of space within me that it comes from. And, yeah. and it's the same with creating this new venture, which is 6 years old now, Flow yeah. Office Wisdom. More and more I see how it's creating something. So originally, it wasn't about the work that we were doing originally. It was about providing a space in particular for women to explore who they were and do great work. That's yeah, what it was about. It was actually more about the people yeah. than it was about the work. And the work sort of just evolved out of the skill sets of who came to the table. And so it just became this morphing, oh, this is what it is. Oh, this is what it is. So I didn't have like a clear idea of what it could become. I had to listen and ponder and process what was happening and what was emerging to get to where we are today.
Wow. And even so, then how did it begin? You said you were working with a lot of leaders. Did it just naturally come out of that? One day you're like, you know what, we need to create a more focused space for this, for these women to come together and have a safe space. You know, mm-hmm. what was kind of day one of let's start?
So at first the spiritual direction and Enneagram stuff was on one side and this other business was on, they were separate. And I had a feeling at some point it would become clear how they would come together. It took quite a bit of time for them to come together. So one was much more practical. I knew, you know, what I had experienced in many jobs through my life. Like I started working when I was really quite young and had worked for many bosses. Some were really good situations. Some were actually pretty extremely bad situations. And so I knew that I wanted to create a space. I knew I wanted to grow something, that I wanted to not just be about me and my spiritual direction practice, that I actually wanted to grow something, create something. And I really, it started through one email. I had no idea what was going to happen. I sent out an email, said, I think I'm going to do this thing. I don't even know what I'm going to call it yet. I could probably do bookkeeping because I had some background in that and some training in that, some, you know, writing and marketing, you know, what do you think? Give me some feedback, friends. And from that email, I had two people come to the table and say, I want to work with you I want to come on board and help you build this. And then I got a client from that one email.
How many people did that one email go to, if you can remember?
About 50.
Yeah. Okay. And a few people responded.
A few people responded, and then somebody else says, "I want to talk to you about what you're going to call it because I think I have some ideas." Like it was just, I just threw this thing out to see what would happen.
Yeah.
And it just kept building from there, and then somebody knew somebody, and you know, we've really never probably just started officially marketing in the last 6 months to a year. It's right. All happened by word of mouth.
And so even that's fascinating to me, because that's the place that so many of us are at is, you know, we have this idea and something's been growing or stirring, cooking within us. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, well, I don't even know how to start. And so many of these stories that are here are just like this, where it's like, well, no, I just asked a friend, and then that friend had a friend, and then that friend, yeah. whatever. And so even those 50 people that you sent that email to, that like that network has been built up over the years of, were those past clients, were those friends? Were those just hope and a prayer?
Yeah, it was friends. It was some relationships I had built in the community through several different, like the businesses that I was in before. Just anybody I could think of that I had an email for, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of them were like really like close to me, and some of them weren't at all. They were just sort of acquaintance. I maybe had coffee a couple times or whatever,
right.
through volunteer work or whatever. And I just threw it out to anybody I could absolutely think of.
Yeah.
Another little piece of that was is that my business partner, her and I, she was the youth minister at the church that I was going to at the time. And her and I kept dreaming about, oh, there's so many youth in our neighborhood that need support, and what could we do? And we were brainstorming about, like, what if we opened a bakery, and you did the relationship stuff with them, and I did the business skill stuff with them, and we just kept dreaming about what it could look like, and that didn't go anywhere. So, of course, one of the first people I reached out to was her, and I'm like, we could do something.
Yeah.
I know that the church wasn't in the space to, you know, hold that, but we can just do it on our own. Like, I'm free now. I've left my other job. I'm free. Let's do this. So it took her about a year to say, like, okay.
Yeah.
She was also had little kids at the time, so it wasn't as easy for her to jump into it as I did. But mm-hmm. It was like all these little seeds that were planted over time, and it sort of just morphed.
Wow. That's so good. So what? Tell me then, what kind of impact do you see this having? You know, what you're doing now. What kind of impact do you see this having on the people around you, the people that you're affecting and working with?
So, I think there's two pieces. There's the internal and there's the external. So in the internal, we really work hard at providing an environment where we're actually challenging people. It's not all fluffy and lovely. I mean, there's some of that too. But there's also a lot of challenge. Like, was that the best decision? Hmm. What could you have done differently? Are you reacting? How could you communicate better? Like, really honing the skills of the team that we have and pushing them. And that's where the Enneagram comes in too. Like, they've all done the Enneagram test. They know what they've discovered. Like, they've done the test, but they've actually affirmed for themselves, okay, yes or no, and gone on that journey of like nailing down what type they are.
Yeah.
And then what does that mean, and how does that show up at work? And we also lean into the 7 habits of highly effective people and things like the 4 agreements. Like, they're all sort of part of our culture, I guess.
Yeah.
So there's that where, you know, it's a space of growth. It's a space of discovering your highest potential. It's a space of seeing where, you know, where to work and your home life fit together, or how they do, and is it's just life. It's, you know, it's not work life necessarily. I like the idea that this is my life, and you get to choose.
Yeah.
Get to choose.
Yep. Exactly. Work is part of your life, right?
It's part of your life. So how do we make it the most meaningful and challenging, and show you how you're contributing? So there's that, and then there's the external, which is I kind of see it like we're vicariously through others making a big difference in the world. So we really. Our most ideal clients are our change makers. So not-for-profits who have a really solid focus on what they're doing in a way that's got the highest leverage strategic outcome for the people that they're serving. Businesses who also have like an internal focus on their staff and providing a good atmosphere and culture for them to work in, and providing a product that doesn't harm the planet, harm people, like, as much as possible. Yeah. I mean, there's a wide breadth of our clients in different areas, or maybe they're community focused in some way, or they're giving back to their community. So those are our ideal clients who are seeing business a little bit differently and as a source for changing the world for the better. So those are our ideal clients.
Yeah. So the impact ultimately you're seeing, again, that, and that goes to you helping or working with companies that you believe in that are making a positive impact, that becomes even more important then, because if your impact is vicariously through their impact, then you better believe in what they're doing.
One of the things that I was challenged with in starting the company was how back office folks, mostly women, were undervalued for what they were doing, and how important the back office is, a well-functioning strategic back office, how it actually is the support and the backbone of any growing and thriving organization or business. So
right.
I wanted to add value. I wanted to shine a light on the value of that. And often we have found that organizations maybe have had somebody in that position for 30 years and they really aren't adding the value in today's day and age. Sometimes the best thing to do is to help them, let them go, and find somebody who will, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I've really focused the business on like that valuable part of an organization. I worked for an organization who were like the best strategic planners and facilitators, like world class, like amazing, amazing facilitators. And I would see that they would do this incredible work with strategic plans. And the joke in that world is that, you know, strategic plans sit on the shelf and collect dust. And so my goal was to say, okay, well, we can help that. It's because they don't know how to focus their resources and they don't have the right people in place to actually get that incredible plan that team helped create in action. So it was putting those plans in action and forgetting that, you know, getting rid of that old, you know, I've seen cartoons where there's strategic plans all on the shelf with cobwebs all over them. No, we're going to do something. There's some brilliant people out there with some brilliant ideas. Let's get them rocking and rolling here.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah. And I think that's so interesting that, yeah, you see the value even for you guys to come in and see, you know, if we're going to put some idea into motion, well, let's start with the place, the back end. Again, that sort of behind the scenes stuff that we take for granted, or we think maybe doesn't have a place in the strategic plan of all of this, but you see value in really shoring that up and making sure that all is cohesive and working really well before you can move forward, right?
Yeah.
Again, I think it's so interesting because that there's definitely a connection again to how you see life. I think from what I know about you so far, April, is there is this, you know, if we're going to get you right and get you in your job right, as you've all the work that you've done in spiritual direction, well, we have to get the behind the scenes stuff right first, right? We have to get that kind of who you are and what's going on in your mind and your soul, all that stuff. Otherwise, whatever you're doing out there isn't going to be valuable.
Right. And so, I mean, I remember saying to my son, who's 25 at one time, like, just go try some stuff. Like, you don't have to have it completely figured out, and you can't, because you need to try some stuff. You need to see what makes you feel alive, and you know that there's juiciness in it, and then stuff that goes meh, you know, like this is actually frustrating or boring or whatever. It's not that it's bad or wrong. It's just that it's not the thing that's like really shaking you up and making you feel like you're contributing and that you're learning something, you know. And I don't think anybody is interested in having a job where they're just, you know, they don't see the value in what they're actually doing.
Absolutely.
They want to see the value. So, but sometimes you just have to try something on. That's exactly how we built the company. We just kept trying some stuff on, right? And seeing what landed and what didn't. So, you know, it's not about having the perfect plan or but it's about being open and listening inside yourself and feeling inside yourself about what works and what doesn't for you. And it doesn't matter if it's an individual or, you know, a business. It's the same sort of concept about listening deeply and noticing and watching and celebrating and learning, you know?
That's beautiful. So where do you see it going from here? What's the big dream going forward for Flow Office Wisdom, for you, yourself? What do you see ahead? What's the big dream?
The big dream is to see, you know, more and more organizations have a healthy culture for their staff and making a big difference in the world. Like, I love the not-for-profit world and they have a place, and I love the business world and there's a place. And if everybody was working towards a world that was not harming the planet and people, we would be in a much different place. So we need to have healthy cultures to bring people's strengths to the table, for people to know themselves so that they can, you know, challenge the status quo and shift the trajectory of what's happening. Really. So that's a really big dream.
Yeah.
How we do that in Flow is probably going to look like doing more training for organizations on maybe workplace in the Enneagram, business leadership, that sort of thing, while doing our back end work at the same time. So it's probably going to look something like that. But we're definitely at that stage in the company's development where we're really nailing down what we're really, really good at and what's really, really working. So I'm a little bit loose in how I can describe that at the moment. because I want it to be, I don't want to nail myself down. I see that there's things that are evolving and emerging, and I'm like, okay, I can start to see the, where we're going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting even that you say, you know, there's this really big dream, but we're going to start here, you know, with us. And I think, I mean, how much more can we talk about that? That's exactly what we all kind of have within us, right? It's like, no, I have this absolutely big dream for the world. It's like, yeah, I want this to happen and this and these people to get along. And however crazy that all may seem, ultimately, you know, today it starts here. And so what are you doing internally in-house to affect the dream that you want to see happen? And it sounds like you guys are doing it.
We are doing our best. And we're, you know, most days we absolutely love it. And then there's those days that go, really? Didn't we learn that lesson already?
Yeah.
That's okay.
I'd love to get into kind of just even your week to week, your day to day, and your experience in running this thing and being the chief dot connector and what that looks like for you. If you can just kind of open us up and bring us into a little bit of what your your mind, your world, your rhythm is like. What are two things that you're really learning lately that have helped you as you push this thing along?
I do a tremendous amount of reading, so I'm always paying attention to what's going on within me and what needs to, you know, be grown.
So what are you reading lately? What's something that's really stood out?
A lot of books right now about finances and sort of this idea of abundance versus scarcity. I think that's been it's a really big one, and that affects the company. And that, how do we actually make decisions? Do we make decisions just based on the bottom line? No. Well, what does that look like? And when we make a decision, is it coming from fear, or is it coming from, okay, this is what's going to take us to the next stage. This is what's going to open this up, crack this open. So just being really aware of that, and also, you know, investing in that sort of thing. So that's a really new thing that I'm working on. Yeah. The other actually has been about my own life balance and what I need to become, you know, continue to evolve as a person. So again, I'm right at that stage in the organization right now in our development where it's become really clear the highest leverage skill for the company to utilize for me. And what does that mean for the company?
Right.
So that, you know, I have, because of how I listen and a lot of my life experiences, I can look and listen to people and see what's kind of emerging them that as their sort of their dream or their vision, and I can see where there's the potential for them to go. Now they have to decide that they want to go somewhere and not just stay stagnant or do the status quo. But, you know, I'm really recognizing that, or as an organization, when I'm listening to what they want to accomplish, I have a way of kind of seeing where the potential leverage points can be and what they could do to really change the scope of their industry. And so how do I market that, so to speak? So it's about learning about it's back to learning about who I am and how I'm uniquely created as me, and how do I use that for the benefit of everybody, including myself.
If I can invite you then to sort of pass on some of that specific, again, wisdom that you're learning about yourself and your own business, if just even on those two points of like finances and personal growth, just if somebody, you know, is listening and they are facing a bunch of financial fears or barriers and they're maybe feeling those things that you just described of like, oh, you know, are we making this move out of fear or lack of trust or what, you know, if somebody is thinking and trying to figure out, you know, what's the next right step to invest in, any advice for them? What would you say to somebody that is kind of teeter-tottering on that?
So I think it comes down to being in integrity with yourself. So, I mean, how I work through this myself, and I am, you know, recently separated, so I'm on my own for the first time in almost 30 years. you know, I need to know what I'm about and what's meaningful for me in my life.
Yeah.
And so it's really asking yourself the question of what is going to bring that value to fruition, rather than it being about how much money I have in the bank. Because you can wait all your life to put your money in the bank and you didn't do anything with it. It's more about that. That's why we have our companies called Flow. You know, it's that flow of momentum between what resources I have and what impact I want to make and what is my life about. And it's those really getting clear on yourself and what you're about and what impact that you feel you're called to make in the world. And so finances should always be focused in that direction in my mind, and more I'm seeing how that fits in with my own life. So mm-hmm. everything that I offer as a human being, I've gone through it first myself.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to the financial piece, it's something that I'm really diving into now. It's fairly fresh. I start every morning now in a very different way than I used to. I actually meditate first thing, and I create an affirmation about what I want, what I think, you know, my greatest calling is for that day.
Yeah.
And that's really helping me focus every single decision, not just the money decision. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, oh, okay, I see how I was not in integrity with that today. Hmm. What can I learn by it? And it's not about fault finding at all. It's about how is that in integrity with me? And as I live more and more integrity with myself and my values, it just flows. Things just happen. And I think that's what I realized at that very first email that I sent out when starting Flow, is that I was in integrity. I didn't know. And I wanted to have a community around me. That's why I always wanted to have a business partner. I wanted somebody else in it with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was sharpening saw kind of idea that, yeah. You know, I realized that I'm limited in my skills. I wanted to bring other people with a whole different viewpoint and skill set to the table and learn from them.
Well, it's amazing. Yeah. Because I love what you said there, and I want to make sure that we hear that again and hear that really clearly. You said that it is really all about this flow between the resources that you have and the impact that you want to make.
Yeah.
And there's this constant back and forth. And I think what I heard you say specifically around finances, you know, if somebody's afraid to step up and make some sort of financial contribution or really make that first investment in their business or in schooling or whatever that next step is, or they're worried about going, you know, into overdraft or mm-hmm. into debt. But again, it's this flow. If it's the right thing, if this agrees with the impact that you want to make in the world, then maybe don't worry so much about the resources that are there or aren't there. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, how I've experienced it is something happens when you get clear. It's just this beautiful thing that happens when you're really clear on the impact that you want to make. And it doesn't have to be a whole lifetime. It could be just, you know, I really sense that this is the next step for me. And I'm not advocating for being irresponsible,
right.
Not being
yes.
good stewards of it. I'm not advocating for that yeah. at all. All that has to come into play, but it's hard to know if it's coming into play if you don't know yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, and I find that a lot of people are, it's harder to talk about money when you're not clear about it, right? And even if you are in debt, it's harder to talk about the debt that you're in. There's almost this embarrassment or humiliation associated to it because you weren't clear about the choices that you made, maybe. But when we were clear about those choices, we were absolutely set, then it's much easier to talk about that debt.
And I've been there.
Right.
So that reason I'm talking, like the reason I've been really, really diving into it is because I've been there myself.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't grow up in a family with a ton of money. I mean, we were always provided for, but there was these a lot of money messages that, whether they were said like that or not, that's how I heard them, because I do hear things through my own lens. But like it's always going to be a struggle was one of the ones for me.
Yeah.
You can never get ahead. And it's what I thought I saw, but it's not necessarily the truth of what it was. But that was some of the messages that I had in my head that I worked through in growing this business to where it is. I've had to really work through, but what are those messages that are floating around there that actually aren't even mine?
Yeah.
They don't even align. I don't even necessarily know where they all came from, because sometimes it's the culture that you pick up those messages from. And it's really a matter of, you know, knowing yourself and being willing to hear what's going on in your head mm-hmm. and your thoughts, and then knowing yourself so much you can choose something different.
Wow.
That's the big thing for me, is you get to choose. You get to wake up and be, say, I get to do this day.
Yeah, yeah.
I get to do this work, whether it's stuffing an envelope or, you know, creating a plan. You get to do it.
Yeah. Well, and this is where I'm kind of camping on this for a little bit, is because this is something that's continuously come up for me and a lot of the people that I work with and listen to and interview and talk with. It's just, you know, we can talk as much as we want about ideas and vision and values and kind of, you know, get that thing that you're supposed to do in the world. And where I find that people get really excited about that is, yes, I want to do what I'm made for. But then it gets deflated and becomes almost a barrier to itself when then people step forward and go, ah, but I don't have the money, or, oh wait, I can't do that because I'm in this job and I need to make money in this job. And, you know, one of the phrases that we repeat is what you're made to do is not necessarily what you're paid to do. And
that's right.
And yet we need to get paid. The all of this talk about money and doing something, it's all about getting money, using money to get money, whatever that is. And so it's such an important conversation. And I think what we're talking about here is ultimately, you know, it's going to come and go, and whatever you have in your savings account, if you're just trying to get a big bank account, it doesn't matter, because at some point it's going to go. Mm-hmm. This is actually more about a mindset thing than anything. And if it's right, if the idea you have is right, if the move you need to make is right, then you'll know. And then the finances ultimately are just a piece of it. It's not the main piece, right? It's not the major.
Absolutely.
It's not the only thing.
Absolutely. And we really do have everything we need.
Yeah.
We really do. It's still a lesson that I'm learning now, is like, if I look at, say, my house and see how X or Y or Z I would like to be done in it, I have a good roof over my head, solid foundation. You know, if I look at it from that lens, I see more and more what I do have rather than what I don't have. It's back to that abundance versus scarcity sort of piece.
Right.
And and so even with somebody, say somebody's making some really good money at a factory job right now, and then they have this dream, well, maybe they need to stay at that factory job and figure out, you know, what are they going to put away for this other thing. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think we have these grandiose ideas that we're going to be some sort of fame and, you know, famous for this or that, or, you know, on Oprah's top 10 favorite things or whatever.
It always comes back to Oprah. Just,
yeah, no. Happen to be a bit of a fan. So, like people, if they just see what they have, they're right where they need to be right now, and look deeper at, what do I have? Where do I want to go? And the answer will become clear. But we're always trying to skip all these steps that are so important in the learning and the transformation process.
Yeah.
Whether it's learning something new about yourself, whether it's learning a new skill, whether, you know, it's about creating the plan while working the factory job and putting some money aside for X, Y, and Z. Like, it could be anything, but we're always looking for something different than what we have.
Hmm.
And if we start with where we are, we can normally find the answer to where we're going.
That is so good right there. And I think with that, we need to wrap things up. But I do have one more question for you. April, would you say that you are doing what you're made for?
Yes, I would say I'm doing what I'm made for, which is to provide opportunities for people to experience their own brilliance. So I can do that anywhere. I can do that with my kids. And when I got clear on that, when I got really clear on that, it changed everything for me, because I can look at every situation and realize I can apply it anywhere.
When you got clear on what it was that you were made for, it changed everything?
It changed everything.
Well, then this was a good match, good connection for the interview. It's been a real joy having you on here, and I'm really thankful for you sharing your story, going so into the journey to get to where you are, and talk about, you know, kind of what you do as a business, and just sharing some of your wisdom and insight here. I think it's going to be really valuable stuff, and I cannot thank you enough for your time here today, April. If people want to get in contact with you and to find out more about Flow Office Wisdom, what's the best connections for them to make?
They can email team@flowofficewisdom.com or go to our website at www.flowofficewisdom.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me. It was a delight, and you asked really great questions, so I love that.
Oh, that's so good. All right.
Thanks so much, Alex.
April is inspiring me to listen more deeply to what my life is telling me. I'm beginning to do the work of discovering what will truly place me in alignment, and then more importantly, I'm taking the steps to get there. But as I do this and I become more aware of it, I'm realizing how many people are living out of alignment in my life, or that I'm connected to, or that I even just see. This seems to be what April's burden is as well, and I'm so thankful for this conversation and the work that she is doing to help individuals and business leaders find alignment in their lives. If you, my friend, are wondering how to find what you're made for, to discover your alignment and your own brilliance or your zone of genius, then go ahead and contact April. She's going to be a great help. Or get in touch with me so we can start coaching and nail down what exactly you are made for in this world. Thank you for listening. I appreciate each download and connection and share that I see. It's all such a good thing to see this community grow. Make sure that you subscribe, rate, review, and share this on your social media accounts, because sharing is what this world is built on. So let's share the good stuff. Until next time, this has been Alex. Now go discover and do what you're made for.